This week's parasha is, in a certain way, half the story. Why is it half the story? Because the Ramban is the first one, probably, to really make a big deal out of it. But the Toichacha appears in two different places, of course. It appears in this parasha, and appears also in Sefer Devarim.
Are you
going to
discuss that big Ramban right before Shlishi, or right after Shlishi?
See, I'm trying to keep it as short as I can, so I'm not going to discuss anything. I'm just going to give a quick overview of what I think is a very important idea. So, it's interesting. Why is it interesting? It's super interesting. Because a lot of times we're looking for things in the Torah speak to us bizman as that, and we're looking for history and the future and the Torah. A lot of times they're hard to pinpoint. Here's one of those situations where certainly the Ramban says right away, whatever you find in this week's Parashat B'chukosai is all talking about Churban Bayis Rishon. Whatever you find later on in Devarim, that's talking about Churban Bayis Sheni. And he has his rayas. What are some of his rayas? He says, if you take a look at what's going on this week's parasha, you find it all seems to have to do with Shemitah. That's what we're talking about, right? That's where we're coming from. Bahar. So if you don't keep the Shemitah, so either, well, these are all the consequences. So he says, She'ena mavtiek rach she'yizkar bris avos. That the problem that this is all about in this week has to do with Shemitah and a violation of the bris. Sounds like Klai, so what do you mean a violation? What bris are we talking about? Sounds like, well, the Kodesh Baruch Hu about Avodah Zarah. Not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. So Klai Yisrael is breaking this bris, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu promises that he'll remember bris Avos as well. And where's the tshuva? Where's the mitzvah tshuva in Chumash? So if it exists, it's later on. And say for Devarim, it's not over here. There's no... Right? Yeah.
Doesn't it say
so
at the end of
Teichacha,
though, if you return...
Yeah, which Teichacha?
This one.
Does it? What does it say? What does it say? Tell me. Gira Chumash. What does it say?
It says that, it, you know, that even though, you know, even though you violate all these mitzvahs and still Hashem, if you were something about you returning back to me.
Vavadetim bagoyim, v'ochla eschem eretz oyveichem. You're going to be sent into Gullus amongst the goyim, the land's going to devour you.
Vani
sha'arim bachem, yimaku ba'avoynem ba'artzoy soyveichem. And whoever's left is going to be just destroyed because of their averis in the land of their enemies. What's
Admit.
Tzvidu, right? So they're going to admit to what they did wrong and the oven of their ancestors. So what's going to happen? So is that a tshuva? What is that? So he'll say, well, his vadu sounds like a vidui. They are doing tshuva. They're not doing tshuva. It doesn't use the word tshuva. This is in Perek Chavav, towards the end.
It says, but despite all this, while they will be the land.
Where are you? What are you reading? Okay, go ahead.
I will not be revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them.
I'm not going to completely destroy them.
Right.
Okay, so what?
For I am Hashem. Oh, don't say
anything about tshuva. What do you have to remember a bris for? Just say they did tshuva and they deserve to come back. Yeah. Do you hear that question, though? If you don't need a bris, if Klal Yisrael deserves to come back, bedin, then you don't have to come on to bris. Bris means that you don't deserve it. So I have to come on to some zuchus for you. But Bishav, what does it say?
I mean,
what
no matter how long you think, I'm still going to remember the treaty I made with Avraham Yitzchak.
Right, exactly.
How does that love go so deep? It's so hard to understand. It's so many averis constantly.
That's
so
the
hard
Bris
to understand. Did you read the brachas you get if you follow? You're not going to be sick. You're not. Everything's going to grow. 100 will chase 1,000. 500 will kill 5,000. Why do we violate anything?
It can't be a
tshuva.
The next pasuk says that. But I don't need it.
Okay, so it's not a tshuva.
What is the next pasuk?
Not
what's going on? But you just did tshuva.
So it's not tshuva. Okay.
So what's v'hisvadu esavoyna?
What's the difference? Which tocha tshuva is brought in? Why is it? Why is it different?
So says the Ramban. What's going on over here? That this was a certain gullus, but then what? But then what? So he says it doesn't say that there was a tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, so remember Bris Avos. In Zechira Asa Aretz, Lo Yishayimchol Avoinam Yislach HaTosam. Not Hashem's not going to forgive them. And then he'll love them even more like it was originally. V'lo Yishayisavis Nidhi Ki Hayah Keinim Alasam Ebavel Shaloi shavu. Rak Yehuda ben Yamin. Va'alaviyem yimohem ma'at. Who did tshuva? Say a couple of shvatim, you know. Some of Sheva Levi, a little bit. Miksas ha'shvatim shergolu lebavel. Right, because you didn't have already all the shvatim at that point. V'shavu, because they were spread all over the place. The 10 of the tribes were lost. V'shavu, v'dalus pa'avod, and he said, he says, v'gam loy omar shi'ashuvu b'tshuva shalayim alifanav. Doesn't say they're going to do tshuva. Rak she'yisav adu avoynom, v'avoyn avoysam. U'matzinu anshei bayas sheni oisin ken kumesha hisavadu Daniel. So and then he goes on to say what it says over there in the various psukim. So that's what's one of his rayas. That you see, that's what's going on in this parsha has to do with bias rishon, and it wasn't a real tshuva, and so they, you know, they came back because of the bris. That's all. But the teichach and devarim, what does it say in the end of that? Then it says vishav. There's going to be tshuva. Anyway, so that's the Ramban. Bekitzur, the Abar Banel, so he has some kashas misvara, and some kashas not necessarily just misvara. So he says, if it's really Avodah Zarah, so then what happened exactly over here? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, listen, you broke my bris. You started doing Avodah Zarah, and you also broke Shemitah. So I tell you what, we'll call it even. You get thrown out for 7 years, which will atone for the Shemitahs, and we'll call the Avodah Zarah even. Deal? What? So what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing them back? So he totally denies this clear split between the two parshias. And when it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is never going to destroy you completely, Beretz Aveyah, see, obviously that refers to both exiles. It doesn't only refer to one. And the Ramban picks and says, well, you see from here, you should really take a look, because it's going to take us forever to go through all the rayas. But the Ramban is on one side and says it's two separate time periods, and the Abar Banel says, absolutely not. It's a big mixture of two issues over here. It's not pshat that one is this and one is that. They're separated for whatever reason they're separated. But really, there is actually just one gullus. What? So he takes it a step further. It is actually only one gullus. And he says, that the gullus started and it continues today. That's okay. The second one. So just to be clear, so the Abar Banel is saying that there was one gullus for the basic averus that happened. Once the shmitas had been atoned for, so there was something happened that was really rooted in bris avos, and to a certain extent, I guess, kapara for the shmitas maybe. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them an opportunity. He built the Beis HaMikdash. But what kind of Beis HaMikdash was it? Was it like the first? Bechalal not. It didn't have shechina. It didn't have the arin in the place it was supposed to be. Rambam writes it was buried underground. But it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. So what was going on? It was rebuilt. Kidei she'yeh lahem mokim v'hachana rabba b'yoysam shama l'shuv b'sishuva. It was to facilitate the tshuva that never happened. She'yispalalu elav mitech tfilasam tshuvasam yislach Hashem l'chatasam. So that way they would be able to atone for the problem that created the gullus. V'yashiv shechinasu b'saycham v'nevuasai v'shavu v'anam l'gvulam, etc. Of course, where are you going to do that? So he wanted them to do it in Yerushalayim, Mokom HaTefila, V'Shar HaShamayim. So that's where they should be doing the tshuva, because that's where it's most easily answered. V'ein ze yiud eletzivui mitzavoisam. It wasn't just an opportunity, it was a mitzvah. Sheyasukein, they have to do tshuva. And so what happened? So it didn't happen. It didn't work. So that's the Abar Banel. So on the surface, it sounds like you have this major machlokes between the Ramban and the Abar Banel, which I'm not convinced really is. They certainly argue over whether or not you can make a clear break between the parashos in terms of the time period. That's for sure. The question is, what would the Ramban say about this essential point of the Abar Banel? Was there really one gullus, or were they really two? Okay, so what do we know for sure? So here's the discrepancy. That Chazal say, Yuma Tesam in Beis, Mikdash Rishon Mipei Macharav. Why was the first place of Mikdash destroyed? We all know. Shalisha Dvarim Shahayu Bavayda Zara Gilarai Shavichuz Damir. Ava Mikdash Sheini Shahayu Oiskin Batoiro Ava Mitzvahs Igmilus Chasadim. So what's the problem? Bnei Macharav. Bnei Shahayisa Bay Sina Schina. So everybody reads this Gemara and they throw the Ramban in the background and say there are clearly two separate issues going on over here. One was a galus because of the big three, and one was a galus because of Sinas Chinam. And Sinas Chinam is Shakula Keneged the other one, so that's why it makes sense that those are two separate galuyas. The Abarbanel is insisting that's not true. I'm not 100% sure the Ramban would disagree with that ultimately. So if you're going to take that mahalach, so then what, how are you learning Skabara? What's going on over here? So he's going to argue that the first galus was because of the big three. And there was an opportunity for tshuva given, because they never did tshuva, just for his vadu, the Ramban himself says that. So they had to still do tshuva. So that was to facilitate the tshuva. So what happened? What does it mean, sinas chinam? Sinas chinam destroyed the capability to have Beis HaMikdash for tshuva. Because it was supposed to be with such an achdus that Klal Yisrael could do tshuva. We're not talking about Yechidim. We're talking about Klal Yisrael.
The way that Martin Newman asked the question, it sounds like they did tshuva. Because it asked the question, okay.
Where? So, well, Ramban says right away, everyone says they didn't do tshuva. Behis
Vadu. No. Because how does Gemara ask it? It says, why was the first person
right.
destroyed? Big three.
Abel Sheini, Shai Oiskin, Batei, Remitz, Mizchasani.
They were doing what they were supposed to.
Right.
Well, they had, everyone agrees they had a vidui, and then they were doing what they were supposed to.
Right.
So they did tshuva.
Well, okay. So we'll get to that. We'll fill that in. But apparently they were learning. They were on the outside. They were doing everything right. And it was just Sinas Chinam. The Gemara there. Let me spell out why it's a problem. So who says there's anything wrong with that? So just all right. So maybe we'll make it as short as we can. There's another Gemara. What's the other Gemara? Mipnei Ma'av the Haaretz. Gemara Bav Metzia Pehei. Amar Rehuda Amar Rav. May Dichsev Mi Ha'isha Chacham Yoveh Nes Zois Vashar Dibar Pi Hashem Ve'ilav, etc., etc. Davar Zeh Amar Chacham Ve'loi Pirshu Amar Nevi'em Ve'loi Pirshu Ache Pirshu Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmon. So we didn't understand what in the world is going on. Alma of the Haaretz. Why was the land lost? Why were we sent into Galus? Shneimar Yom Hashem Al Azum Es Tayrasi Shenasati Lifneihem. What? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shalei Berchu Batayra Tchila. That's what?
That's what I said earlier. They didn't make a bracha.
Right. So how does that fit into any of this? So that's a Vayda Zarah Shvichus Nam Gidrai. So first Beis HaMikdash, right? And the second one, what? The second one, they were perfect. It was Mama Justina Skim. Sinas Chinam is also Keneged, not being Mavarich, but Torah. Anyway, I think it's Pasha that we're generally looking at it wrong. And I think if you look at the Parsha, you'll see exactly how this fits in so perfectly that it almost seems like it can't be any other way. What created the galus? In other words, when you look at this week's parsha and you say to yourself, I'm going to try to look into the Torah and I'm going to see how this came out to its fruition. So where does it start?
In the other Gemaras that said this, there were four types of galus.
It's a separate time period. There's no question about it. And it has its own qualities. There's no question about it. Really what I'm asking is it that there's one basic issue that happened in Bayez Rishon that really carries through the entire time? That, in other words, you could ask it a little bit differently. Everyone seems to argue that the only thing we have to do b'zman hazeh is tshuva for Sinas Chinam.
No, says that.
That's what everybody says, every Tisha B'av. Avas Chinam. Don't you go to the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation videos. All we have to do is just not have Sinas Chinam and like the world will be solved.
He's saying that there's no tshuva from the first place of English to the one in the second place of English. The second place of English means that they were already machaper on the first, whatever.
If you're going to assume that, that means they were machaper. They already did tshuva. For Avodah Zarah, Shibi Chuzam Gilarayas. We all did, we're perfect now. And we had a separate problem of sin aschino, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the Gemara sounds like, Pashup Shat. So I'm suggesting it's not like that at all. And that's what the Ramban seems to be alluding to, and that's what the Abarbanel seems to say very clearly, is that the problem of Vayda Zarah Shvich Zom Gila Rayas was never really solved. We were given an opportunity to do the tshuva, and we blew it.
So do you have to do tshuva for something that somebody else did?
Yes, if you continue doing the same
thing. Call Yisrael Raven.
If you don't do the same thing.
So, I don't know. As a Yachid, no. Okay. As Klal Yisrael, I don't know. It could be that the corruption is corrupt, and then Klal Yisrael has to somehow be misaking it.
So, why didn't somebody understand the first three? I'm not so
sure. So, let me try to make the picture. I think when I'm done, you'll see what I'm trying to say. Let me see if I can pull it off. Let's start with the negative, and then I'll show you in the positive, and give me a minute to try and pull it off. If you take a look in this expression, this is a psucha, this is in Chavav Yedalis. It says, V'imleis ishma'uli, v'leis asu es kol ha-mitzvah sa'ila. If you don't listen to me, and you don't do all of these mitzvahs, v'im chukosaitim asu, v'im es mishpatai tiga'al nafshechem. So there's a lot of things happening here, it seems like, a lot of words. Levilti asoy says, kol mitzvah sa'i, l'hafrechem es brisi. Okay, now we're starting to talk about avodah zarah. Afania says, "Ois lochem v'fkadeti aleichem beholos," etc., etc. And all of it, everything begins from there. So, what exactly is the cause of all of this? So, it starts off with what? V'im chukusai tim asu. You're disgusted by my chukim. No, it starts off v'im loisishmauli. V'im loisishmauli. So, the truth of the matter is, if you take a look at this parsha, it is exactly parallel to the beginning of the parsha. So we have to sort of keep our fingers in both places. The parsha begins, Im b'chukosai teilechu. And this says, V'im lo yisishma'u li. Sounds like it's not parallel. Im b'chukosai teilechu, V'im lo yisishma'u li. V'es mitzvosai tishmeru. You guard my mitzvahs. V'lo yisasu, it's called ha-mitzvosai eile. Okay, I don't know, maybe parallel. Asiya and shmira, I don't know, maybe that's not the same. So that seems to be it. Etc., etc. So what does Rashi do in Yedalus? V'imleis ishma'uli, liyos ha-melim bat-toyra. V'ledas medrash chachamim. Why did he do that to us? The Pasuk says, if you don't listen to me, what do you mean you don't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're not doing the mitzvahs, you're not listening. Rashi's, nah, you're not being ha-melim bat-toyra. Ha-melim bat-toyra, mandach ha-shmei. What's he talking about? Rashi seems to be bothered. What do you need all these words for? V'loi sasu is called a mitzvah. Well, sasu called mitzvah is you're not doing the mitzvah. So there can't be in loisishma uli. Loisishma uli has to be something before a siyas ha-mitzvah. So you're not doing the mitzvah, but what's before a siyas ha-mitzvah? Well, I guess learning about the mitzvah, something like that. Nasa v'nishma in the reverse. And then it gets worse. V'imchukusai tim asu. So what does Rashi say? Number one. The first stage is you're not a meiling b'torah. So if you don't learn, you're never going to be able to perform mitzvahs. So what's happening is they're not on Melus Batara, and then people aren't doing the mitzvahs. So then a person starts to become disgusted by other people that are doing the mitzvahs. Mishpatai tiga'al nafshechem, soinei ha-chachamim. So then a person starts to hate the chachamim. Livulti asois, moinei asaycherim asois. Then he starts preventing others. He's already not doing it. He starts to prevent others from doing mitzvahs. Es kol mitzvaysai, koifer. He rejects the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Rechman al-Litzlan. Shaloi tzivisim, alechach neymar, es kol mitzvaysai, v'lemar, es kol ha-mitzvays. Oh, I mean, he's rejected the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So what's going on over here? So of course Rashi goes, you know, the hafrechem is brisi, totally koifer beikar. Harisheva averis, harishana gareris hashniya v'chein ad hashviyas ve'eluhein. So Rashi says no uncertain terms. Loi lamad, that's number one. V'loi asa, moyes ba'achirim ha'isim, soinei esa chachamim, moineya esa achirim, koifer be'mitzvois, koifer beikar. So the mitzvahs don't come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is 6, and then total rejection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence, Rechon Litzan is number 7. So that's how Rashi learns the whole thing over here, and that's of course why it's 7, 7, 7, 7, and the rest of the parsha, because of that sequence of events. And how does the parsha begin? So there's teilech b'chukos, there's shmiras hamitzvos, and there's asiyas hamitzvos. So of course Rashi writes, v'imuchukos ay teilechu yachazal kiyum hamitzvos kishu amir ves mitzvos ay tishma ru hari kiyum hamitzvos amur elamani makayim v'imuchukos ay teilechu amelim b'tayra ves mitzvos ay tishma ru. So first things first. How does Rashi learn the Bechukos Ay Teilechu? How does Rashi know that means Amelus Batera? Like, who says? Where is that even coming from? And then hopefully that'll help us with the parallel. So where does that come from? So I think this is the way that Rav Katan says it. If you're not talking about Asiyas HaMitzvahs, you're talking about Halicha Bechukim, that's a funny thing to say. Where do you ever find a phrase of Halicha Bechukim? U'Bechukoseyem Loi Seilechu. The Avera of Halich Bechukos Agoy is exactly parallel to this. That the Isser is to follow what's called Chukos Agoy. The Mitzvah is Bechukosay Seilechu. So what does that mean? So what's Chukos Agoy? So here we can spell it out. Because while there may be certain poiskim that learn that B'chukosem le'seleichu means to follow things that are rooted in Avodah Zarah, you take a look at Rav Moshe's whole tshuva on Thanksgiving, that's a great one. So he says, you take a look at the Ramah, mashma from the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, that what it means is that even if it's something we don't know the reason to, so either because we have to be concerned it's rooted in Avodah Zarah, or maybe the mere fact that this behavior is not rooted in Torah is enough to make a Chukos Agoy. In other words, we're used to thinking it's because it's rooted in Avodah Zarah. Maybe not. Maybe it's because it's not rooted in Torah. So there's an important distinction between the two. Does every single thing that we're doing have to be rooted in the Torah? Otherwise it's a Chukos Agoy. Or no, it just means, you know, there's plenty of things over there that we don't understand. Let me just be clear. If they're doing something for a valid, logical, practical reason, that's not Chukosem Leseleichu at all. It means there's something that they're doing for a reason that we don't understand. There is no reason. So if there's no reason, who says it has to do with Avodah Zarah? So one possibility is we always have to be concerned, maybe it is. The other possibility is it doesn't make a difference because it's not rooted in Torah and has no practical benefit. So that's called Chukos Agoy. So if that's the definition of Chukos Agoy, so what does it mean that Chukos of Hashem? So Teretz is, there's a Mahalach of Torah. There's a Mahalach of Hashem. And it's not, you can't put your finger on it necessarily, but that's the Mahalach. How in the world, what does that mean? So Teretz is, if you want to know, you have to have a Melus Bater. A Melus Bater means that when a person is really struggling to learn and understand the Torah, so his eyes will open up into Mahalachim of Torah. So that's in Mechukosai Teilechu, is that it's not talking about Mechukosai Tishmeru or something like that. It's talking about a Halicha Bechukim. Halicha is a Halacha. It's a Mahalach. Because you can't put your finger on it. It's almost like a kedoshim to you, sort of. But it's a mahalich of Torah. So that's why Rashi writes, Im b'chukos ay teilechu, it has to mean that a person has amelus b'Torah, not just limud ha-Torah. Limud ha-Torah could be just to know what to do. Amelus b'Torah leads to an understanding of a halicha with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the starting point. If that's what you're doing, so then you're already good to go. The mitzvahs will follow. And that's why there's not very much else going on in the psukim in the beginning of B'chukai Sai. Because if you have a Melus Batera, you're going to end up with everything. Problem is, what if you don't have a Melus Batera? Here Rashi says that means a Melus Batera. You're not hearing the Mahalach. Then what it'll lead to is, then you're not going to be able to do the mitzvahs. Now there's a whole psychology of guilt, if you will. The psychology of guilt. It's unbelievable. I remember Rav Glucksman, he one time told me that he was flying on an airplane from California to New York. I must have told you the story before. And so he stopped off to refuel because the planes then couldn't make it that far. So he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. He learned the Stipler's Kol, so give you an idea of the time period. So he had to put on his tefillin in the morning when they got back on the plane. So he started putting on his tefillin and he davened on the plane. So there was a non-Jewish fellow sitting next to him that said, "What are you doing?" He like never seen this in his life. So he explained to him, "These are my phylacteries, you know, it says in the Bible, blah, blah, blah," whatever he told him. When he got off the plane, he went to get his bags, And some other guy came up to him, irate. You know, you want to be religious, that's fine, but keep it to yourself. You have to go flaunting, you have to do it in public, you know, keep it to yourself. Sir Glucksman looked at this guy and he says, excuse me, you're Jewish, aren't you? He says, how did you know that? He says, because the guy on the plane was all curious and respectful, and you feel guilty. See, so the Torah is saying there's a psychology of guilt. The psychology of guilt, and Mama should see this today, that the person doesn't have amelus b'Torah. When there's not an amelus b'Torah, there's no gishmak of the Torah, there's no mahalach b'Torah, so then what? He doesn't know all the mitzvahs, clearly. When he doesn't know all the mitzvahs, then he's not doing the mitzvahs. So what happens? What's the second Rashi over here? Loi lamad v'loi asa. So he's not doing the mitzvahs. So what happens when a person decides, for whatever reason, let me be a little more concrete. Let's say, what does amelus b'Torah lead to? Amelus b'Torah leads to the mahalach b'Torah. That means that it has a value system. If a person is following chukas hagoy, so then he's following a different value system. So that value system ends up conflicting mitzvahs. Like all the gay issues. A lot of liberal issues. So what does he do? So how's he going to do the mitzvah? The mitzvah is against his value system. The Torah's value system. It's against his value system. So he doesn't do the mitzvah. He's not interested. So he doesn't do it. But maybe he wants to do it. He's being lazy. He's not excited about the mitzvah anymore. Whatever the reasons may be. So then he sees everybody else is being makbid on these things. He's like, what's with these people? They're crazy. So he's moyes b'chayrim ha'oisim. And then he starts hearing all the rabbis. And rabbis get up and they say, this is what the Torah says, what you have to do. So he's such a stupid rabbi. He starts hating all the chasoni asachachamim. And then he sees people that are following it. And they're listening to all the chachamim. So they start making protests, and they start saying, you shouldn't do these things. Don't do it. It's bad. And then they turn to the Torah, and they say, but that's what it says in the Torah. You're not allowed to sleep with a man. That's what it says. So they say, it doesn't say that. It means something else. So what do you mean? But that's what it says. Whatever. It was a scribal error, and all of a sudden, they're kofer in the mitzvahs. They're kofer in the Torah. That's not what it says anymore. And then finally, they say, but that's what it says. How do you argue that? They say, well, because, you know, I don't know. And at the end of the day, push comes to shove. So they're going to end up saying, because everything is, there's no value system, HaKadosh Baruch Hu this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, and they're kofer in some way, b'ikar. Mizman hazeh mamish. So that's what's going on in the Toichacha. So that leads, of course, to Avodah Zarah. That's where the Avodah Zarah began. Because when you have the Amelus b'Torah, so then you're good to go. That's the beginning of the parsha. You don't have the Amelus b'Torah, so then the value system doesn't set in. And then everything starts to become a slippery slope of losing out on everything, on the entire value system. Step by step by step by step. And it leads to Avodah Zarah. And then it leads to Gilui Arayos, of course, the two always go together. And Shfichus Damim, because there's nobody who's significant, who's important anymore. And I can kill him because he's violating, you know, doing abortion. So I can go ahead and kill him or deciding whatever it's going to be. He's not doing abortion, whatever it is. So everything goes in, all the whole value system falls by the wayside. So if that's true, if that's correct, so then you can now put together all the Gemaras. Because when it says that there was the big three, the cause, the Bayis Rishon, and then it was the Sinas Chinam by Bayis Sheni, so if there's not really a tshuva for the original Avera, because what's really the original Avera? It led to the big three. But the real Avera is the failure in Amelus Bater. So if that's the pshat, so that's what the Gemara means. So then how come Ma'al Ma'av Daha Aretz? So without going into all the Marim Mekoymas, so you know, the Ran, you know, the various Marim Mekoymas are that Birchas HaTorah means that at the end of the day, what I'm describing as Amelus b'Torah. That they didn't really think the Torah was this, or the Torah was that. All the nuances that you find in the Rishonim, the Acharonim, there's a failure in Amelus b'Torah. It's a failure in Torah Lishma, etc., etc. So if that's the way you learn it, so then fine. So then everything, all you know, Makom and Bishon. So there's a lot more to say, but that's what I wanted to point out, is that, to summarize, when you start learning the Ramban says they're two separate galuyos, it would seem, and so when you're talking about this week's parsha, that's obviously Chorban Bayis Rishon. Later on, when you're talking about Kisavai, so that's all talking about Chorban Bayis Shein. Comes along the Barbanel with his rayas and says, what do you mean? It's all one. How could you ever say they ever did tshuva? They never did tshuva. What's going on? It's all really one long gullus. The whole binyan bias sheni was just to facilitate the tshuva for all of that. So I'm suggesting that what that all really means, essentially, is that was supposed to facilitate a real amelus b'Torah. Because that's really the only way out. the way, because Rashi says otherwise it's a slippery slope. And those are the seven things that Rashi delineates. That's what happens, and you see a mamash b'chush b'zman hazeh on an individual basis. But ultimately, that's what Klal Yisrael has to do. It's not about fixing sinas chinam. It's about fixing the amelus b'teres to such an extent that we can be in mechukas ha'itelechu. That just like there can be something called chukas ha'goy, where there's a mahalach by the goyim, and they don't even know why they're doing it anymore, but that's just the mahalach. That's what you do. So we should be like that too. We should have a mahalach in Torah. That's just the way we do, because this is klali, so this is the way we behave. This is the way we function. To have such a thing requires an amelus b'teres to really know what that value system is. That amelus b'teres leads to all the brachas in the Torah, chas v'shalom. When it's not, that leads to the slippery slope that leads to everything else. That ultimately is the gullus that we're still in. Right.